Rubber Tall Cats, Pasha's Palais Sakhar.
I'll wash the floor with you. I know how to. I'm a good expert. No bending. You want other people to bend to your way, but you never bend to other people's way. Neither to the back, neither to the back. I have a question in the middle of learning. Thank you for that. You're not going to develop your shit. You never want to learn that you should bend a bit. You bend a bit. From learning a year, we're learning just a reason. You come here every day, man, and you can't bend to require 2 minutes, so you're going to sit with him and leave with him.
Can we come in?
When do you start to give a proper shiva?
I'm giving you a proper shiva now. I'm giving you a proper shiva now, and I don't care. I'm tough. I don't care about being bad to you. I'll absolutely let you go. Let you go there.
Good morning. Struggling to see over the technology. Little babies, little children are very, very fascinating subjects of study. Not just because they're cute, sometimes, when they're with their mothers. Not just because they're, you know, they're babies, they're sweet. But because a baby hasn't yet learned how to not behave naturally, how to behave in an unnatural way. So a little child's behavior is very, very natural and not politically correct. They can be very embarrassing sometimes. When you take a little child and they see things, they tend to say things as they are. There's no shame, because there's no they haven't learned social correctness just yet. And sometimes when you study little children, you can learn a lot about true human nature and the true way that human beings are supposed to behave. And there's a lot of insight to be gained from them. From little children, you can sometimes learn a lot about how they see you and how they see the world. And sometimes it's worth a study. I'll take an example. You find that little children, especially little babies, like to play boos. Peek-a-boo, boo. You hide your face and you show it, boo. And they find it to be very amusing. Hide and seek is a favorite game, at least when they used to play games. What's the inion in there? Why is it so? What's the idea there? And the answer is because it's discovering a mystery. When something is hidden and it's discovered, it's exciting. And the little child is fascinated by something hidden becoming revealed. And now it sees something that was hidden a moment ago, and that's, wow, that's amazing. And that fascination with the unknown is what all people have. And the search through the depths of space for something, the secret of life to be found in billions of light years away, is something which fascinates all people. The truth is, that particular search has a speck of apikoresis in it, because if we believe that Hashem made the world with purpose, do you think he would have put the secret of life somewhere where for the most of history so far nobody could possibly find it, and we wouldn't have access to that information? Only the tiniest few might ever find it wherever it is as a hidden mystery. Is that possible? So that sort of search has a speck of the apikoresis in it, and more than a speck of it, and a lot of wasted money. But the seeking, that's in all human beings, and that you find in little children as well. Let's take another example. You find in the smallest of children the desire to be independent. I don't want to listen to you. Even the smallest one, you offer the child a spoon, they want to take it themselves. They don't want to be fed, or they want to throw it on the floor because you gave it to me. If I take it, I'll take it. I don't want to be given. That's the desire for independence, and then when they start talking, we hear all about it. And that is the essence of precast oil. Of not wanting to have an oil, a yoke around us, and that is the essence of the Yetzer Hara. And that is the skill of chinuch, is to load up a yoke on a child gently so that they are able to bear more and more of a yoke, such that as they grow up they don't feel they're bearing a burden, and they're able to carry the oil malchus shemayim with ease and naturally without feeling that they need to rebel against it. That's the whole skill of chinuch. There's some examples, but I will turn to the one which I'd like to focus on today, which I had a ha'ora on, a thought on, and I'd like to share it with you. We find that little children have this deep desire for attention. Just that you should focus your attention on me, you should be aware I'm here. When a child is acting up, quite often it's simply a case of, you haven't paid attention to me. Even a small baby. We have a one-year-old baby at home, and yesterday this child was sitting on my knee, and was fiddling, was looking at me, and then I turned my attention to something safer, like this, and the baby turned his head, stuck it right in front of my face, and put it in front of the safer, like in between me and the safer, and put a big grin on his face. He didn't smile at me at all for the last 10 minutes, but as soon as I turned my attention to something else, all of a sudden he wanted the attention. He wanted to be noticed. And this desire for attention is something which you find in lots of children, and unfortunately in lots of adults as well. In all sorts of ways, people desire attention. They want to be noticed, they want to be known. And some people, the world, it has the culture of fame and notoriety, to become famous for something, to be known for doing something. And people will sometimes shipwreck their whole lives for 5 minutes of fame. So they became famous for something. There's the full culture that keeps a lot of the media going, is attention-seeking people who've not found a way of living that satisfies their need for attention. The truth of the matter is, it's a very, very deep desire in a person for attention. What's the source of that? Why is that? What does it come from? Sorry?
From school.
From school.
You get praised in school and it follows right through your life.
And you don't think it's before school? Kids, even before they've ever gone to school, want attention. I think it comes from the Mishnah. Lefikach nevra adam yechidi. Lahagid gedulaso shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Because whereas a human being who wants to create lots of things makes one mould of chocolate, or one mould of Lego, and presses all sorts of the material into it, and they all come out the same. All the chocolates pressed with one mould will come out looking totally identical. And all the bricks in this mold will come out looking the same. The gedula of Hashem is that he's able to make one human, and they all have the same hands, legs, feet, and so on, and yet they're all completely different. How different? Totally different. Such that there never are two who have the same face, or the same fingerprint, the same personality, even in identical twins. They're not totally identical in personality, even if you'll read studies. They're identical twins who have grown up, or twins who have grown up not with each other, are often very similar in the patterns of their life. It's a very interesting thing. But the fact is that every human is unique in some way. It's a chiyuv for a person to think and to accept that the world would have been worth it had it been created just for me to live in it. Hashem would have gone to all of that bother just for me. He also did it for everybody else, but he would have done it just, it would have been worth it just for me. And so you see, everyone's a yachid. And that's the makor of attention seeking. It's trying to find the yachid in the person. That's the source of it. And we find that when it comes to judgment, when Hashem judges a person, the emphasis is on the yechidus, on a person being a yochid. Because everyone passes lifnei Hashem, in front of Hashem, kibnei moroin, which means one at a time. There's a whole universe of billions, and yet each person stands in front of Hashem precisely like one. There's no groups, we're part of a group, it's all of us together. It's every single person as an individual, because it's the individuality that Hashem created in each person, that's what Hashem is judging. That's what Hashem is looking to find where that yochid is and what that yochid has done. We find a little bit further, similar on the emphasizing the importance of the yechidus, of the uniqueness of the individuality of each person, we find by Avraham Avinu. When Avraham Avinu was in deep trouble with Nimrod, and he was in the tightest of spots. Just by the way, the Ramban is the end of Parshas Noach. He says, which is a statement which is an important principle in understanding Agoda in general. The Ramban says that when we read Agoda's Chazal, one doesn't always necessarily know whether they were meant to be understood in the most literal form or not. So when we talk about Avraham Avinu, for example, being thrown into the fire, and I'm not talking about Psukim in the Torah, we're talking about Agoda. So it could be, Zeramban says, it could be Kipshutai, that he was thrown into a fire and he came out alive. Or it could be that Chazal is speaking in a figurative sense, where Avraham's life was in the deepest of danger, where he was in tremendous, tremendous sakana for his life, and with some miracle, he escaped and he ran away. Could be. That's how the Ramban says so. It's an important principle in understanding our goddess Chazal. Yes, that's what it is, yeah. But either way, when Avraham Avinu was in the Kivshan Oesh, whatever it is, like for example, Moshe Rabbeinu was going to be executed and his neck turned to stone. So does that mean he was caught and he was about to have his head chopped off and it turned into stone? Or does it mean that he was in the, again, similar idea, in the deepest of danger for his life, and with the guard turned away for a second and he ran away? Could be as it could be. The Ramban suggests that both options are possible. But that's not the point. The point is that he was in the deepest of danger. And Gavriel said to Hashem, Ribbono shel Olam, Eret v'atzanin v'atzeles ha-tzadik, let me go and save him. Let me look after this tzadik. I'll do it for you. I myself am a yochid, but who yochid boy lamai? And he's a yochid. No eli yochid lahatziles hayochid. It's fitting for the one who is a yochid to save the person who has become a yochid. Well, Avraham was a yochid. Why was he a yochid? He was literally a yochid, but b'dayroi. There was none other like him. No, there was no other who did what he did. He was absolutely a yochid. In his generation, there was no formal recognition of Hashem in any meaningful way. And Avraham brought that. He brought the avodas Hashem. He brought the name of Hashem. Hikri yishmoi befi kol bria. He made Hashem known. He did something totally outstanding and unique that was not done in his generation at all. So yes, he was a yochid. And Hashem said, "I am a yochid. I must save him." So what's that got to do with us? And yet, Reb Chaim Volozhin says, in Pirkei Avos, he says, that all of those nisyonos and all of those things that Avraham Avinu achieved in his life for himself, that are recorded in the Torah and in Chazal, that it's a principle that is found in each and every one of us, the ability to do the same. So if Avraham Avinu became a yochid, it must be possible for every person to become a yochid somehow. Like Avraham Avinu, in some way. And this really is a bit of a question. What does it mean to be a yochid? And how is it possible to be a yochid like Avraham Avinu?
Everybody is a yochid.
Sorry?
You're saying that the work is to be a yochid.
Everyone has the potential to be a yochid. Yes.
You're saying that
everyone has in them the desire to find
them.
You can become one, yes. You have the ability to become one. Whether a person actually becomes it or not is the question. So we have to understand what it means. What does it mean to be a yochid? What does it mean Avraham became a yochid? Well, that's quite understandable. Does it mean to achieve something that nobody else did? Like Reb Chaim Kanievsky is a yochid b'dayroi. If we say about him, he's a yochid b'dayroi, I think everyone can agree. He's a yochid b'dayroi. There's no question about it. But how can everyone be a yochid? What does it mean? We're all pretty much part of everything else. What does that even mean? It's a question which bothers a lot of people. And people try to find all sorts of etzes to become a yochid. Furthermore, we find this from Yerucham Levavit says. Yerucham Levavit says the following thing. He says, we find by Matan Torah, very interesting thing. Would you like a flag? Who wants a flag? Children want a flag. On Simchas Torah now. They like a flag. What's this business of the flags? You find in Bamidbar a whole fuss over the flags, and the Midrashim talk a very lot about how big and important and significant Nis'avu l'dgolim, Klal Yisrael saw the flags of Malachim, and they really, really wanted them. They wanted these flags, and the Midrash says, Chiba g'doyla chivan HaKadosh Baruch Hashem gave them a great chiba that he gave them d'golim k'malachi ha'shores. K'day she'yeyu nikorim, that they should be noticeable, that they should be recognized, recognizable, noticeable. Interesting. So the Malachim are recognizable, and having a Degel means that you're recognizable. What does that mean? Or, for example, the Medrash says that the guys, the Umas Olam say to Klal Yisrael, why don't you join us? Let's have fun together. Let's live together. Why do you need to be you? Why do you have to be different? Why can't you just be part of us? And if you do, on Oysam Eskam, she'll tell him, you'll become leaders, you'll become big, powerful, we guarantee it to you. So the Klal Yisrael say back, what could you possibly do for us? Even as great as you'll make us, what could you do? Shama ki gdula sha'asim on Hashem. Could you possibly give us the greatness that Hashem gave us? Ish al digloi, each one has a flag. The flag is a degel. What does that even mean? So Rabbi Yerucham says, study malachim. You know that every malach has an individual shlichus. No malach lives for more than one shlichus. What happens when it's done its shlichus? I don't know. I can't tell you. But it's a principle in the Torah that a malach has one shlichus only. And that means to have a degel. I heard the voice, I don't remember where I heard it from. The difference between a nes and a degel. A nes is a banner,
when,
a flag.
The same word finished the Yaakov Avinu.
Sorry?
The same word finished, the Yaakov Avinu was in a hurry to go up and say Shiva.
Yes.
And that was the first day he would say Shiva. Yeah. So he did have two shlichos.
I hear your question, but I don't know what to say, because Chazal do say that
each
malach has
each
one.
Malach, when he's finished his shlichos, he's done his one shlichos.
Yeah, and that is eternal. I don't know.
He says a place is the
shliach. That's how you
finish off. And then he gets another job. It's like
a
it's
the same job.
Forever.
He had the shliach.
Yeah,
he had the shliach before. He knows.
All right, I'll call upon him. The principle is that a malach has one shlichus. Its existence is for one shlichus. And that is what a degel means. So I heard the vort, and I don't remember who I heard it from, what the makor of it is, but it's a good vort. What's the difference between a nes and a degel? A nes is a banner. So, and a degel is a flag. So is it a bigger one? A flag is a small one, a nes is a bigger one. What does it mean? So, a nes is a banner which you raise up so other people can find you. So, for example, the nos on nes lagoyim, Mashiach will come and he'll raise up a banner on the mountain where everyone can see it and they'll know where to come to. And all the goliaths will know where to come. So a nes is for other people to find you, to locate you. Whereas a degel is for you to find yourself. A degel is like your purpose, your function, your mission. It's for me. It's like my, well, they say in business, every business has to have a mission statement. They're fancy things. It means you have to have an identity. What am I for? What's my unique purpose? So like every malach only exists for one shlichus, that's why it has a degel, because that's what it is. Therefore, Klal Yisrael nis'avu, they wanted also to have a unique purpose. They wanted to find this yechidus, Yechidius, the Yochid Sheboi, and therefore that was their desire. I don't want to just be a general, I want to be an individual, a prat, not a klal, but a prat. And Rabbi Yerucham says that that was what happened at Matan Torah. What happened at Matan Torah was something which we call Hashkocha Protis. Because the Ramban says, whereas we know that Hashem has Hashkocha over the whole world, Bichlal, which means that Hashem has Hashkocha over the Kiyum Hamin, not over every specific one. What does that mean? It's a level of Hashkocha. It means that how many cows Hashem
maybe cares about cows in the world because they fulfill a function, but not specifically this one will have unique, special attention from Hashem. It's just called Hashkocha Klolis. And on Bnei Odom also, there's such a thing as Hashkocha Klolis. Now Hashem is Kiyum Hamin of human beings in a general way. But for if a protis means that Hashem cares about this specific individual person. Why should Hashem care about this specific one? Because this specific one has a specific job to do. So therefore, when you have a specific purpose, you rise up from Hashkocha Klolis to the Madrega of Hashkocha Protis. And that's what Klal Yisrael wanted. They didn't want to have a general purpose in the world. They wanted each individual to know that they have a specific purpose in the eyes of Hashem. And the Ramban says, Tifkidu Aysam, you should count them, says the Ramban. Inyan Pekida. What is this Inyan of counting? Shemais counting. Zikaron v'hashkocha al dobar. It's Hashem's focusing on a particular person for a particular purpose. And the Ramban says about Avraham Avinu, ki yedativ. I know Avraham Avinu, says the Pasuk. What does it mean, I know? Hu yediyo mamish. It means Hashem knows him, literally. Yirmayiz, ki yediyas Hashem shehi hashkochosoi bo'olam hashofol. Because Hashem's hashkocha, which is his yediyo in the world, hu lishmar haklolim, is just to keep the general group. V'gam b'nei odom unochim bo'i lemikrim. And people are also under hashkocha klolis. Ad boyes pekudosam, and everything that happens to people is a general hashkocha until the time when they leave the world. Avol b'chasidov, but those who are tzadikim, yosim olav li boilodasoy soy beprat, Hashem takes an interest in that person in a detailed way. And that's what it means, hine ein Hashem el yireyov. Hashem's eyes are on those who fear him. So therefore, the hashkocha that Klal Yisrael desired was the hashkocha of Avraham Avinu, the hashkocha of Malachim, which means the hashkocha of the Prat, that you have a specific purpose, a specific function. So Rav Simchel Zissel says, he says, you know the old joke, the American president says to the Israeli president, ach, you're a small timer, I'm a president of how many hundreds of millions, whatever it is, 100 million people, yeah, you're just a president. You're a president of a few, a handful, 5-6 million. Yeah, small time backwater you are. He says, no, you're a president of 100 million people. I'm a president of 6 million presidents. What does that mean? So Reb Simcha Zissel says, this is the apostle. Ki mi yishpoit es amcha hazeh ha-godoil, who can rule over this nation, this great nation, Godoil? Yoyseh Nokel, these are the words of Reb Simcha Zissel, it's easier to rule over a huge city of Klolim than it is of a little village of Protim. Because a Prat is something unique, and that requires a unique way of it. So therefore, the vort in the Pasuk is Ishal Machanehu v'Ishal Digloi. Some people, they live in the Machaneh. They know, they're aware they have a Tachlis, they don't know what it is, they haven't found it yet. So they live in the Machaneh. They know that if I live in this area, I'm in the general direction. So I'm roughly at the right address. I don't know exactly where it is. I'm on the right street. I just don't know which door it is. And there are some people, al-digloi, who have found their purpose, who have found a tachlis. There was one wise fellow who once said, some people have lost the way, other people have lost the address. Some people don't even know that there's a way to go on. Other people are on the way, they just don't know which address. So there's a thought. Sorry?
They're all lost.
Okay, fair enough. So the question is, how do you find the yechidus? How does a person locate yechidus and uniqueness? So one could answer this in several ways. I'll say one way which is general, another way which is general, and then I'll share a thought which is very beautiful and very, very, very profound. A general way is that every person lives in unique circumstances. No two people live in the same world in the same way. We all touch different people. We're surrounded by different circumstances. And if a person marches through those circumstances, through their life, and they make the right decisions that Hashem would want them to make, to the best of their ability, memela, you're a yochid. There's truth there. There's a lot of truth there. Because there's no such thing as two people who touch the same amount of people in their lives or who live in the same world. We're all lots of lots and lots of veltelach. Asach veltelach. That's where we are. And that's the reality. It's a proper reality. And therefore, if a person is follows Hashem in their world to the best of their ability, memela you're a yochid. But somehow that feels slightly hollow because it's true and it's not cheap, it's very true. But it also means that it's not like Avraham Avinu, because Avraham Avinu was a yochid bedoiroi. He stood out amongst his generation. What was his yechidus was more than he just lived all of his life. He did something big, different. That needs an explanation. Just to add on to this a little bit, with Simcha Zisel, he says the following things. Out of Kalim, he says, the principle of the whole Torah is that the chiyus, the life of every action, the neshama of it, depends on what intention you put into it. So two people put on tefillin, and it's two different mitzvahs. And the real chiyus comes from the kavana you breathe into something. We find that the Torah teaches us this in Parshas Nosai. Because 12 people did identically the same thing, and it's considered so different that it's worth writing it in Hashem's book. So Hashem has a book, and he wrote it down. This is Torah, this is a chelek in the Torah, this is a chelek in Hashem's tachlis. Because it was the unique kavana that each one put into it that breathed a different life in. So externally, it might all look the same, but depending on what the internal is, that depends on whether it's unique or not. And therefore, Reb Simcha Zisel suggests why the parasha of Elazar is repeated is the same thing. The parasha of Elazar, he went and he did, he davened, and then it's repeated, I went, I did, and I davened, and so on, it's all repeated, why? So he suggests, because when Elazar went out, his kavana was to fulfill his shlichus, to be loyal to his master, and to do so on. Then when he came, said it all over, it was with a different kavana. His kavana was, Eliezer. Then when he came and said it all over, his kavana was that they should buy into it, that they should see the hashkacha, that they should be willing, and so on. So it's a different kavana, it's a different action, it's worth writing again, because it's different. And therefore, if a person puts kavana into something, then that breathes a life into it, a yechidus into it, and every person's intention is different. Let's say, for example, a person says Moedim today with one kavana, tomorrow another kavana. It's two separate things. It's two completely unique, different things. So the external is not the life of it. It's not the real thing. But the kavana the person put into it is unique. But let's try it. Still, it needs a bit more. I heard a vort, a beautiful vort, a while ago, and unfortunately I don't remember the makor of it. So whoever it is, it should be Bishmoy, and it should be Zechus for them. But I heard the idea like this, and it's based on the Sefer Chassidim, but it's a beautiful word. V'digloy olai ha'ahavo. V'digloy olai, Hashem's flag over us was love, was with love. Hashem raised his flag over us with love. Ahavo is gematria. Sorry? Which word? Yes, what? Echod is Toiv also? Echod. Ahava is Echod. Ahava is Echod. Why is Ahava Echod? Because true love can only be focused in one thing at a time. You can't invest all your love for lots of things. Well, you can. You can love lots of children, can you? But really, that's all one thing, because it's all yourself. It's all the love of the self, isn't it? Okay, but what does it mean? Hashem's flag was love, which is one. What does that mean? So the Vort says that when a person finds a mitzvah, or one inyan, or way of bettering the world, that they really, really enjoy, that means something to them, and they focus their life on it, that is their degel. How do you know what the degel is, my purpose, my tachlis in Hashem's life is? And the answer is, you find that one specific thing that really talks to your heart, and you make that your focus, that is your tachlis. And there's never going to be two people who really like and see and feel for the same thing the same. It could be it's a certain mitzvah or halacha. Even a halacha, not a whole mitzvah, but a halacha, one inyan of Shabbos, a certain halacha, that a person really feels is something for them, and they focus on it always, and they make that a big thing, then that is their tachlis. It could be it's a certain form of chesed. There's a person who feels very much for lonely people and likes wherever they hear of a lonely person to go visit them and make them smile. That's something that could be someone's very musical, likes to sing to make people happy and cheer them up. It could be it's the job the person ends up doing. It could be a person's a doctor and they went into it because they love people, they want to help Hashem's people, and they want to help people be gesund and stark, and that's their ahava, that's their echad, that's the one thing that drives them. That is the degel, that is the yechidus of each person. It doesn't necessarily mean that it'll be something earth-shattering like Avram. Some people get to do that. But yechidus, to find a purpose, that is within every person's reach, where you find that one thing. Very interesting, very interesting. I heard this some time ago, but it occurred to me perhaps that's pshat in the Rambam. Because the Rambam says, it's a very interesting thing, it's a bit of a shocker. A big chiddush, this Rambam. You know, we say, Rabbi Chanani ben Akashi Oimer, Rotzai Kodesh Baruch Hu Lezakeh Es Yisrael, Hashem wanted to give us lots of zchusim, lefiko chirbo lem Torah mitzvah. So what does that mean? I always understood it's like, you know, they used to go for the gold rush. They used to say, America, the streets are lined with gold. So as if you walk down the streets, there's gold everywhere, you just pick it all up and you become rich. So I always understood what Chanani means. There's so many mitzvahs and so many of them that at every twist and turn you have another mitzvah to do. So it's like Hashem wants to make us rich and wealthy, so He lined the streets with mitzvahs and diamonds. You just walk down and pick them all up as much as you can and you become rich. No? Is that percent right? Poshup Shat. Zicha Poshup Shat, no? But Rambam says it's not true. You've learned Pshat wrong. Rambam says, "Me'ikre emunah b'Torah." It's a fundamental emun in the Torah. Ki keshiyekayim odom mitzvah mitariag mitzvois. Karayu kahoygen. If you fulfill one mitzvah correctly, properly, v'lo yishativim or kavona, mikavona selim, with no ulterior motives, b'shumponim elu yasois or lishma me'avo. You do it lishma me'avo. Hini zochah b'lachay olam haba. That one mitzvah is your chiyus in olam haba. One mitzvah. That a person does that is proper, correct, with all the details, b'chol proteh v'dikdukeh, with all the kavonas, me'avah, that is yochiyos no'elam habo. And he proves it from Rabbi Chanani ben Akasha, zehu sh'om Rabbi Chanani. So what does that mean? What does Rabbi Chanani mean? Rabbi Chanani means Hashem wanted each person to be able to do one such mitzvah in a lifetime. So He made the opportunities for mitzvah so many that it's impossible that in a lifetime you won't have done one. Of all of them that you do, you won't have done one. So you see, says Rabbi Dessler, that Rabbi Chananya means, the Rambam says, that the quantity is for the sake of the quality. We do a lot so that one or two of them will actually stand up and give us our chiyus. And that was it's a bit of a shocker, that. Really? That's what we spend all our life doing, so that there should be one. But that's what Rambam says. But I thought it could be what's hidden in there is this. Rabbi Chanani says Hashem wanted everybody to have the opportunity to find their purpose. So He gave so many different opportunities, so many different ways of achieving something, that it's impossible that if a person tries lots and lots of them, they won't find one that they're really, really, really feel is their thing, and they will excel at it, and that is their ticket to Olam Haba. That one which you make your yochid, that's what it means. I thought that was a nice idea. Sefer Hasidim says this, and if you look in Sefer Hasidim in Tof Kuf Chof Tes, most of it is to be found in the Mekor Chesed Tzivkot and Dalad, where he quotes endless medrashim and marim mekoymus, where a person, we find the great Hasidim always found a mitzvah, one mitzvah. Any mitzvah, a mitzvah, which they excelled in, which they made their big issue, like the people standing on the streets, the big issue, selling the big issue, what's your big issue? And they try to find one mitzvah, but shum ponim, they never ever let go of. And they made sure to fulfill it, and that was their degel. That's your yochid. That's your yochidus. So Reb Shlomo Balba says, he says, when a person focuses on one mitzvah like that, then that is their hashkofa protis. Because protis, wherever a person is koveya a certain action that they always do, a mitzvah, then they will find unique hashkofa on them in that specific area. He bases it on the Gemara, in Brachos, Tavvav, I think it is, Omer Robin, Baravado, Omer Yudah, Kol Rogil Lover, Beis HaKnesset, Lo Bo Yom Echod, HaKadosh Baruch Hu Mashil Bo. If a person has a minhag to come every day to a certain minyan, then Koveya Mokum in a big way in this, and one time they're not there, Hashem's very interested, wants to know why. It doesn't say everybody who davens and goes to shul, Hashem wants to know why they're not there one day, because that's not a kliyas. But a person who made an issue of tefillah b'tzibur in a certain minyan, in a certain place, that brings with it the hashkocha protis. That's the hashkocha protis that Klal Yisrael wanted. The attention of Hashem and the hashkocha that they should, that their Hashem's interested. And that's the yechidus. And therefore, the idea is a beautiful one. I heard just a final detail. So the vort goes, why is it that when a person becomes of age, 12 for a girl and 13 for a boy, we say they are? Bar mitzvah, bas mitzvah. Why not bar mitzvahs, bas mitzvahs? Because there's 613 of them. Sorry?
Bar mitzvah, they do say bar mitzvah.
Yeah, why don't you say bar mitzvahs?
Bar mitzvahs. Mitzvah.
Mitzvah. The klolis. The general, yeah, it's a general noun. Yeah. Yeah, it probably is true. But the idea is, we say to a young person, you should start finding the mitzvah that is your yechidus, that is your issue in life. Shkar. Yeah. Shkar.
Alvin, Lust, Lamuzetisha Lashmi, Bupeli. I'm an oath. Lamuzetisha Lashmi brings a medresh. What do you need, Shkar? Why do you need to ask? Every malach has got one, and his name is according to that. Bupeli. It's obvious. If I came about to see this, it's obvious it's Bupeli.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.